You are listening to a message from First Baptist Hall. We hope this message challenges you and encourages you, and you can use this as a resource to grow closer to Jesus Christ. For more information about our church, check out fbchalton.org or follow us on social media at fbchalton.
God, thank you so much, Lord, for that truth that our God reigns. And Lord, we can come to days like today, whether it's filled with joy and happiness, or days like today, whether it's filled with difficulty and sorrow. And God, we can cast all our cares on you because you care for us. God, thank you for that truth. Thank you that you reign. Thank you that you're in control. God, we pray this morning, Father, that you would speak. Father, that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. God, that you would speak truth. God, that you would take your holy word as I place my dirty hands on your holy book. God, you would speak truth into our hearts, that you would use me and hide me behind the cross. God, I pray for those who are here this morning, Lord, who need you, who need to be saved. God, I pray today that they would say yes to trusting in Jesus. God, I pray for those this morning, Lord, who need to cast their cares upon you. God, I pray today would be one of those services, God, where we would unload those things that we're carrying. God, I pray today, Father, that you would meet with us here in a powerful way. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, if you got your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 5. We're going to finish up this letter that we've been walking through for the last several months, and we're going to do one whole chapter today. And so if you got to listen quick. And we're going to get through 1 Peter because next Sunday we're going to begin a 3-week series kind of leading us into Christmas. And I know you've seen, I get a bad rap around here. The staff call me the Grinch. I don't like that. I love Christmas. I don't like what Christmas has become. Can I get an amen? I am so thrilled that Jesus Christ came to this world, right? But I dislike all that the world has made Christmas. And so I want to challenge you this year as we move into this Christmas season. What can you do as mom and dad? What can you do as an individual to bring our hearts and minds and our families back to that manger and the hope of that manger and the promise that Jesus offers this world? That's what Christmas is about, right? It's not about the tinsel. It's not about the tree. It's not even about the presents. It's about what Jesus Christ has came into this world to be the Savior of this world. And so, look, we're going to be talking about that those next 3 weeks, starting next Sunday. And so be sure to be here with us. But let's finish 1 Peter. We're in chapter 5 this morning. Let me refresh your memory a little bit on where we've been, who is writing this. And let me give you just a quick biography here of Peter. You probably met him first in the Gospels. His name was Simon. His brother was Andrew. They were fishermen. Jesus saw Andrew and said, hey, go bring your brother to me. And Andrew goes and gets Simon. Jesus finds them fishing on the Sea of Galilee. And he literally just says a few words to these two brothers. And they leave everything. They left their boat, they left their nets, they left their livelihood. And he just said, listen, follow me. Follow me and I will make you a fisher of men. And so in that very first yes that Peter had, or Simon rather, his very first yes was, yes, I want to catch men for Jesus. I want to go out. I've caught fish. I want to go out and catch men. I want to give men the gospel, the hope of Jesus. And so he said yes, and he followed Jesus, left everything and followed him. Now, Peter, his personality, I can relate with a little bit. Peter was, you know, he was very emotional, kind of maybe you could even say a hothead. Peter was an alpha male. His personality was a take charge kind of guy. He saw an issue and he met that issue. He spoke oftentimes before he really worked in his mind everything that should come out of his mouth. That Jesus opened it and things came out. I can relate a little bit to that. And so in this course of him saying yes to following Jesus, he leaves everything and follows him. And Jesus in Matthew chapter 16, he asked this question of the 12 disciples. He said, "Hey guys, what's the word on the street about me? What are people saying about me?" And Peter was the one who said, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus changes Peter's name in that moment from Simon to Peter. And he says, "Peter, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church. Your confession, what you just said about me, I'm going to build the church on that confession." And he said, "I'm going to use you, Peter. You're going to hold the keys of the kingdom, and you're going to unlock heaven to all of the people of this world." And he does that in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10. And so we see in Peter's life, he is witnessing Jesus do some incredible things. He takes a little boy's lunch and feeds an entire stadium full of people. He sees Jesus do miracle after miracle. He takes blind people and gives them sight. He takes lame people and they're walking. Peter is an eyewitness to everything that Jesus is doing. And yet Peter was the one that he told Jesus, "Hey, I'll die with you." And Jesus said, "Bro, you're going to deny me before the cock crows. So before this time tomorrow, you're going to tell people you don't even know who I am." And sure enough, that's what Peter does. Peter denies him. He's heard Jesus teach. He's seen Jesus do miracles. He was in John chapter 10. He was there when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and Jesus said to them, "My sheep hear my voice. I'm the shepherd, the good shepherd, and I speak, and those who love me and follow me, they follow me. They hear my voice and they follow after me." In fact, he said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, he said, "But the thief comes. I've come to give them life, but the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." Peter heard all of that. Peter, after he denied Jesus, Jesus had a conversation with him in John chapter 21. Peter waited around for Jesus to do something. He died. He was resurrected. And for 40 days, Peter's there twiddling his thumbs. He heads back to Galilee. And you know what Peter does in John chapter 21? He does what a lot of us do when we're waiting and nothing's happening. He went back to doing what he'd done before Jesus had found him. You ever been there? You kind of slide back into an old routine. You kind of slide back into life before Christ had called you and removed you and you followed him. And Peter just kind of runs back. In fact, he says in John chapter 21, those first few verses, he said, "Hey, guys, I'm going fishing." Nothing sinful about fishing. He says, "I'm just going fishing. I'm going fishing." And he goes fishing. And while he's fishing, he takes six people with him. Listen, we'll never run away from Jesus alone. We'll always take people with us. And that morning while he's fishing, they fish all night long, they catch nothing. And sounds like a fishing trip I've been on. And they fish all night, they catch nothing. And John sees Jesus first. And Jesus calls out to them in the boat. The sun's coming up that morning. And Jesus is on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. And he says to those guys, he said, "Hey, y'all aren't fishing in the right place. Throw your net over there." And they throw it up and they catch so much fish they can't pull it in. And John says, "That's Jesus." Peter pulls his coat, his robe off, and jumps in the lake and swims to shore. And here's this conversation Jesus has with Peter. He asks him three times, "Peter, do you love me?" Peter says, "Lord, you know I love you." And this is what he says, "Feed my sheep." And I think about that, church, because in the beginning he said, "Hey, Peter, if you love me, I want you to follow me. I'm going to make you a fisher of men. You're going to lead people to me." Now, in this part of Peter's life, Jesus says to him, "Hey, Peter, do you love me?" He said, "I love you." He said, "Hey, take care of my sheep. Feed them." And then he asked him a second time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know I love you." He said, "Tend to my lambs." to take care of the sheep that I'm going to give you, those who are coming to follow me. I'm their good shepherd. Peter, I'm going to use you to be their pastor, their leader, their shepherd here on earth. You've got to love them, encourage them, support them, feed them, take care of them. And he asked him a third time, Peter, do you love me? He said, Lord, you know that. He said, hey, feed my sheep, tend to my sheep. And so this is powerful. And Peter undoubtedly has all of that in his memory as he's sitting down to write this last few paragraphs to these people in 1 Peter who are literally being killed because of Jesus. That they are under persecution because of who they believe in. They are dying for their faith. They believe in Jesus so much, he has changed their life, and they are following him to the point of death. And when Peter sits down and he writes these last few words, it's really amazing to think as the Holy Spirit of God is giving him the words to say, that listen to what he writes in light of all that Peter has experienced. Verse 1, chapter 5. The elders who are among you I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed. Shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly. Look at this, not as being lords over them. Don't be dominant over those people but that I've entrusted you, but be an example. That's the word Peter wants those other pastors to hear. Be an example to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, appears, you'll receive a crown of glory that does not fade away if you serve the people like that. Now look at verse 5. If that were a word for pastors, a word for the shepherds, now he's going to transition and say, hey, let me give a word to the sheep or some wisdom for the sheep, the people, the followers of God. He says, likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another, be clothed with humility, for God resists the proud but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Now look at verse 7. Verse 7 is the verse in the entire passage. Casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Now listen to me today. I'm going to say a lot of things. We're going to talk about pastors. We're going to talk about people, sheep. We're going to talk about Satan and how he tries to wreck our lives. But I don't want you to miss verse 7 and all of that I talk about today. I don't want you to miss verse 7 because I believe verse 7 is the message for you this morning. Listen to what it says again. Cast all your care on him. What is it? All of your anxieties, all of the things that you struggle with, all of your worries, all of your failures, cast all your care on him. Why? Because the good shepherd, he cares for you. Listen, I don't know where you are this morning. I don't know how Thanksgiving was for you. It was amazing that Hunter said what he said a minute ago because Thanksgiving in my life was a little bit different. It was different than it's ever been before in my life. Thanksgiving this year was without my father, without texts, without phone calls, without sitting around a meal with him. And so holidays are different this year than they've ever been before in my life. And I told my wife just this the other day, I've never felt like this before. I feel alone now. I know I'm not alone. I have a wife who loves me. I have three boys that love me. I have a family. I have a church family that loves me. But I'm going to be honest with you. I heard people say this before, that when you lose both of your parents, you kind of feel like an orphan a little bit. But I want you to know something. For the very first time, your pastor, I feel like Thanksgiving was weird for me. Jude killed a deer on Good Friday. The girls went shopping for sales. We went shopping for deer. And Jude shot a deer. Dude, it was the biggest deer Jude's ever killed. We were fired up. I threw his cell phone out of the deer stand so he would focus and watch for deer. The deer came out. Jude shot, killed the deer. It was great. And we did what all men do with dead animals. We got behind them and took pictures with them. And so I started sending everybody pictures. It was the first dead animal picture that I didn't send to my father's phone. And so Thanksgiving was a little weird. Good Friday or Black Friday was a little weird. And so it was just sometimes holidays are different because of who's not there. We get so wrapped up in the excitement and the family and all of that stuff. But I'm going to just be honest with you. When I read verse 7 this week, it meant more to me than it's ever meant before. Cast all your care on him because he cares for you. I said, I don't want you to forget that. It doesn't matter if you've got cancer right now or someone that you love is dying or someone that you love has died or if you're in the middle of a heartache or you've lost a job or you're struggling with your own faith and questioning things. I want you to hear this morning. Cast all of your care on him because he cares. You know what? God loves you so much he cares about what you're going through. He cares about the feelings that you have, the thoughts that you have. He cares about the struggles that are in your life. He cares about the failures in your life. He cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. Peter, in the midst of wrapping this letter up, trying to encourage people who are going through a difficult time, he said, listen, guys, cast all your care on him because he cares. He cares for you. Look at verse 8. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. Now he kind of focuses away from the shepherd and the sheep, and he says, here's the lion, the Satan. He said, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Then he says, hey, look, the good shepherd's coming. He is our hope. He's the prince of our story. He's the one who's coming. But may the God of all grace, who called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus, also after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Watch, to him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. There's three verses there about people. Silvanus, he's writing this. He's sending it to him. He talks about Mark, friends, family, folks that he thinks are sons. And so he wraps this whole letter up. And listen, church, mainly to say, you're not going through this alone. You may not need this, but I do. You're not going through this life by yourself. He gives a word to shepherds. Can I take just a minute and share this with you? He used the word shepherd in verse 2, shepherd the flock. It literally is the word pastor. One of the sweetest, I've been called a lot of things in my life. Some ugly things. I've been called a lot of things in my life. Remember the sweetest thing anybody's ever called me is dad. I like dad. But I'll be honest with you, I really like for people to call me their pastor. Because pastor means shepherd. Pastor means that this individual has loved me, cared for me, taken care of me, fed me, tended for me, protected me, led me away from dangerous things. This is someone who has invested time and energy and effort and love into my life. When I first started here, I was 27 years old and I had hair. And I was young. I didn't know what I was doing. I would get up every Sunday and I would open the Bible and I would preach the Bible. And you would introduce me. Maybe not some of y'all, you weren't here, but some of those in the 9:30, they would introduce me and they'd say, hey, listen, this is our preacher. You need to come to our church. He's our preacher. What does that mean? That just means I'm the guy who opens the Bible and talks. The preacher is just the one who preaches, right? And then I remember there was a time, it was about 5 years in, and I was sitting on the platform. We weren't here. We were in the gym. We were building this. This was just concrete. And I was in the gym. I was sitting on the platform. We were doing worship. And I looked out in the congregation, and I thought, I was there when their baby was born. And I looked across here, and I said, hey, I was there when their kids got married. I was there when their mama died. I walked through a difficult time with them in marriage counseling. I was there when their children made horrible mistakes. And you know what I realized about 5 years in? I stopped being people's preacher, the guy that just talked to them, and people started introducing me, hey, I want you to meet my pastor. Meet the guy who does life with me. Meet the guy who loves me, who walks through life, who teaches me the word, but he loves me enough to walk through life with me. And listen, that's what Peter is saying. He said a pastor is an individual who's called and not one that is convinced to be somebody. Not convinced by a paycheck, not convinced by somebody else to fill this role. He's called by God. He's set aside by God. He makes a couple of statements. I want you to just see it real quick. He says, you be an example. And I want you to know something. Your pastor's not perfect. But I'm in good company because the guy who wrote this wasn't perfect. Peter was a mess. In fact, in Luke chapter 22, I think he's around verse 30, 31, 32, somewhere in there, Jesus looked at him and he said, hey, Peter, look. Satan has asked to sift you as wheat. He said, Satan has asked for permission that he might sift you as wheat. And he said, I'm praying for you that when that time happens, when you suffer, when you go through a time where you're struggling and you're being sifted by Satan, I'm praying for you that when you get out of that, you'll strengthen your brethren. And you know what Peter said? I'm not going to do that, Lord. Not me. Man, I'm telling you, I've been there. Not me, Lord. I'll die with you, is what Peter said. And before the clock had gone around, he was denying Jesus three times. And then he writes, can you imagine the Holy Spirit says, hey, I want you to encourage these other pastors, be an example. And I thought, an example? Golly, I'm a mess. How can I tell them to be an example? I'm not an example. But listen, if you don't get anything, get this. He wasn't telling us to be perfect. He was saying that even through our imperfections, we can grow in our relationship with Jesus. That God's called you and I to grow even through our imperfections. Look, I know most of you are like, hey, that's great. That's a word for shepherds. I want you to see some wisdom for sheep because all of us are sheep. Jesus said, I'm the good shepherd, and my sheep hear my voice. And so in verse 5, he begins to give some wisdom for sheep. He's really three words pop out in these few verses. In verse 5, he says, listen, you who are younger, you need to follow those who are older. Why is it important for us to come alongside those who are older? Because I want you to know something. They've already been through it. That those are, we had Bo and Eloise Keith here this morning in our 9:30 service, and they just celebrated 64 years of marriage. I want you to know something. There's nothing Andrew and I are going through that they haven't gone through as a married couple. There's nothing that Andrew and I have gone through as parents that they haven't gone through as parents. That they have walked through it in the last nearly six and a half decades of life together. They have gained so much wisdom. And you and I as, well, I still feel like I'm younger, but us as younger folks, we can gain a lot from those who have been where we are. Whether it's in marriage, whether it's in life, whether it's dealing with business and making decisions. Peter says, hey, listen, for the sheep, you need to gain wisdom. But in gaining wisdom, verse 5, he says, don't become proud in gaining wisdom. In fact, pursue humility. I'm fixing to give you something. Humility is not thinking less about yourself. Humility is thinking about yourself less. You know, a lot of times we think if we're humble, then we think less about ourselves. Oh, poor pitiful me, or I'm humble, and these people have pride, and I'm this, I'm that, I'm lower than everybody else. But being humble is thinking about yourself less, it's thinking about other people more. And Peter's saying, listen, for those of us who are sheep, as we're following Christ, we're to serve other people, we're to walk in wisdom, we're to pursue humility. And watch this, look at this next thing. I love this, verse 6. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That just because this is God's will, it doesn't mean that it's God's time. Just because we've fallen in love and we know that God's given each other to be married, it doesn't mean we get married next week or elope to Las Vegas. It may be God's will, but it's not God's time. And maybe God's leading you into doing something or calling you out of something else, but it may be that he's getting ready for you to do that, but it may be his will, but it may not be his time. See, he's going to exalt you in due time, and in due time makes us patient because now we're waiting and watching for God to direct us as his sheep. If he's the good shepherd, we're following his voice. And in the process, we're gaining wisdom. And in wisdom, we're pursuing humility. And as we humbly pursue humility, we are patient, waiting for his time in our life, not ours. Now watch this. It's a word for shepherd, wisdom for sheep, but he tells us a warning about Satan. And I just want you to hear this, church. You and I, on the most part, there's a few things we live our life so busily that we don't think about the second coming of Christ, that it could happen today. And most of us live our life, and Satan is a fairy tale to you. But most of us live our life, we don't even think that Satan has us on his target. We don't even think that the lion is out there to destroy our family and our marriage. We don't even comprehend the fact that Satan has a plan to pursue you in order to destroy you. And listen what he says in verse 8, you better be sober and vigilant. You and I better be watching. Because he is there at every corner. He's subtle. You know, a lion pursues its prey. It lurks in the shadows, waiting and for the great opportunity, the perfect opportunity to pounce on its prey. Listen what Peter says. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is roaming like a lion, seeking whom he may devour. And I want you to know something. Most of us live our life and we never even think that Satan has us on his radar. And yet he's subtly working his way into our marriage. He's subtly working our way into our minds. He's dulling our minds in order to pursue things that aren't bad, but they're not what God would have us to pursue. And he's dulling us. And this is how it works. One day we wake up and we don't spend time with God. We don't have a desire to open the Bible or to pray. And so we stack one of those days on top of another one. And then it's a week and 2 weeks and a month. And only time we're opening the Bible is that fat, bald-headed preacher is opening it for us and teaching us on Sunday morning. And he's pastoring us and he's warning us and he's teaching us the Word of God. But you have been so dulled to the fact that Satan has entered into your house already. And he's dragged you away from your passionate pursuit of God. And that fire you used to have for Jesus, it's not there anymore. That desire that you used to have to grow, that passionate prayer time that you had in the morning, it doesn't exist because you need that extra 30 minutes or an hour of sleep. And you're not depending upon God anymore for your own life. And you're not seeking his guidance for decisions you make as a family. And you're allowing your children and your family to go directions and to do things that you never would before. You're compromising because Satan has dulled you. And most of us are living our lives blindfolded by the fact that Satan is out for us. And Peter's warning. Because here's the deal, that's what sheep do. sheep just go about feeding and they look for other pastures and they look for cool water and they're completely oblivious that there's wolves and lions out there wanting to devour them. See, that's what a shepherd does. He warns the sheep of the danger. And most of us live our lives. Listen to what Peter says. He said, listen, you and I, we have to watch, but we have to resist him. Probably one of the greatest ministries we have in our church is every Thursday night at 6 o'clock in our fellowship hall. It's called Celebrate Recovery. We got a couple in our church that they've given every Thursday night at 6, and they say, hey, listen, we're gonna help people walk through their hurts, habits, and hang-ups. We're going to help people walk through a life that has really been crippled by Satan and his pursuit for them. And we're going to help them walk through those things that have become abusive or addictive or those habits that have become unhealthy in their life. And probably the most incredible ministry that we offer every week on a regular basis is at 6 o'clock on Thursday night to Celebrate Recovery. Because I want to show you something. Everybody in this room has a hurt, habit, or hang up. Everybody in this room has a self-destruct button that Satan knows exactly what it is, and he pushes it on a regular basis. And I'll tell you what, in this room this morning, there are individuals in this room, you have an addiction nobody ever knows about. You have something that's controlling you. And maybe you're self-medicating yourself to dull or to ease some pain that you have in your life. Maybe the pain that you had and the medication that you needed, the pain's not there anymore, but the medication's still there. Maybe you're taking something in order to find joy and happiness and fulfillment in your life, and it has become an addiction for you. Maybe it's not a substance that you put in your body. Maybe it's an activity that you do in your life. Maybe it's shopping. Maybe it's hunting. Maybe it's some activity that has drawn you away from your relationship with Jesus Christ and it has become priority. Listen, that's how subtle Satan is. Maybe you have taken a hurt in your life, something that has a death of a loved one, and you have revolved your entire life around that moment that you lost them. And guess what? You're still alive. And guess what? That means Christ still wants to live in you and for you. Cast all your cares on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Peter's talking to people who have buried their loved ones, who had been torn apart physically by wild animals, who had been burned, having been dipped in wax, burned to illuminate outdoor parties. He is writing this to people who have had heartache and distress, who are in depression, who are doing everything they can to numb the feelings that they have. And he's reminding them, cast your cares, all of them, on him, because he cares for you. Satan doesn't love you. Jesus said, I've come that you might have life and life abundantly, but he has come, the thief has come to steal, kill, and to destroy you. The sad thing is most of us as the church, we will live our life numb and dull to the fact that Satan is winning many, many battles. And I love you enough to tell you that which was just an innocent thing that now has become a habit, that now has become an addiction, is literally eating the heart out of your marriage, out of your home, and he wants you to cast that care on him. Now watch what he says. Wait for the chief shepherd. Here's the last thing I want you to see, and I got 3 minutes to tell you this. Look what he says in verse 10. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, he's going to perfect you. You know what that word perfect means? It means realign. you know what the older I get, the more I realize the aches and the pains that I have in my life. And I blame my mattress every morning when I wake up and my back hurts. And maybe it is my mattress. But there are mornings that I wake up. Have you ever woken up and you look like the letter J because you just can't straighten up enough? And you know what? You need to go to the bone crusher, right? You need to go to that man who takes your body and cracks you, and he realigns you and he straightens you back up. That's what that word means. He said the chief shepherd is going to come, the one that made God, the God of all grace who called us to eternal glory. After we've suffered a while, he is going to realign you. He's going to perfect you. He's going to establish you. That means to set you on a firm foundation. He's going to strengthen you. And he's going to settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. Wait for what God wants to do in your life. Don't jump to what Satan is offering you. Don't jump to something that's cheap that won't fulfill you. Wait. Peter ran back to do what he was used to doing. He reminds us out of that failure. He says, listen, church, you and I, stay humble, gain wisdom, be patient, and through all of this, resist Satan, stand firm in the faith, and wait on the chief shepherd. He is going to establish you, realign you, strengthen you, and settle your heart. Why? Because he wants glory for your life. He wants glory out of the mess that you've made your life. So here's the verse. Cast all your cares on him because he cares for you. I want you to do something this morning. I want you to bow your head. I don't want you to get ready to leave. I didn't do this in early service. I want you just to bow your head. I want you to just get quiet in this moment. The band's not coming to play. I just want you to just get still in this moment. I want you to hear that verse 7. And I want you to think about the things in your life, things that give you anxiety, things that cause you pain. Cast all your care. Not just some of it, all of it. Listen to that. Cast all your care on him. What's that mean for you? For some of you in this room, you need to cast your sin. For some of you in this room, you've never placed faith in Jesus Christ. You've never surrendered your life to him. To cast all your care on him means that you need to cast your trust. You need to place faith in him. Some of you this morning, in a moment, we're going to stand together and pray. The band will lead us. But some of you this morning, you need to come. And you need to surrender your life to Jesus Christ. Listen to that. Cast all your care on him. What are you worried about? What are you struggling with? Is there something in your life that's robbing the joy from your life? Cast all of your care on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Listen, you may be here this morning and you think nobody cares for you. You may be here this morning and everybody's let you down. You may be here this morning and there's nobody in your life that you can trust because everybody's hurt you. Listen, cast all your care on him. Why? Because he cares for you. Let me tell you how much he cares. He cares so much that he sent his son to die in your place. He cares so much. He loves you so much that he died for you, but he died as you. He took your punishment, my punishment, on the cross. Cast all your care on him because you do have someone in your corner. You do have somebody that cares for you. God cares for you. Since it's in the stillness of this moment, I want you just in your mind and your heart to cast those cares on him. Father, would you fill this place with your Spirit? God, I pray for those who may be in this room, Lord, who don't have a relationship with you. God, maybe they've never experienced your grace. They've never experienced your love. God, I pray this morning, God, that you would move in their heart. Show them the cross this morning and how much you care for them. God, I pray, Father, that in this moment, Lord, they would surrender their life to you and say yes. God, they would cast their care upon you because you care for them. God, I pray for those sheep in here this morning, God, who are just struggling. God, their hurt and their heartache has become bitterness and anger. Maybe silence. God, whatever it is, God, I pray, Father, that we could cast our care on you because you care for us. God, do a miracle in this room this morning in people's lives. God, I pray that you'd restore relationships. God, I pray, Father, that you'd win victories over addiction. God, I pray that you'd save folks this morning. God, I pray that you would do only what you can do, that you would do miracles here. We give you the glory and the honor. We love you. In Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening. If you want more information about FBC Houghton, check us out on our website at fbchoughton.org or follow us on social media at FBC Houghton.